you know, those kids that were up here today. Lord, we just thank you for this day that we can celebrate, that we commemorate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we lift up Pastor John right now as he brings forth your message. We pray, Father, that it would be a challenge to us even during this Christmas and holiday season. Lord, anoint him from on high with your presence. May the Spirit of God move mightily in our midst here today and challenge us and strengthen us. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm actually going to start out with the same story, believe it or not. It's in the book of Luke, chapter 2. In those days, we know that Caesar issued a decree for that a census would be taken. And it says in verse 4, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find baby Millie wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." This was the story of the birth of Jesus. And this was a birth that had the most far-reaching consequences of any birth that the world will ever know. Absolutely. And it's a birth that has changed, literally changed, the course of history. A birth that the whole world acknowledges, whether they want to or not, every time we use a calendar or date a check or a paper, because the date that we put on there means in the year of our Lord. That's where the date started, from the time of Jesus. It's a birth that was foretold many times over the previous hundreds and even thousands of years in prophecy after prophecy. It was the birth, in actuality, it was the birth of Christianity, which has had hundreds of millions of followers down over the centuries, and right now has over a billion followers. This was the birth of the Word made flesh, Emmanuel, God incarnate, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And we call it Christmas. If you or I had been in charge of God's entrance into the world in the form of Jesus, I'm sure that we probably would have tried to do it up a lot bigger than having the baby, you know, born in some little manger out in the middle of nowhere, with just a couple local, you know, shepherds getting in on the deal. We would have wanted the lights, the cameras, the action, all that stuff broadcast all over the world. We would have tried to make it into a huge social event. It would have been, people would have been Twittering all over and tweeting and texting and all that kind of stuff. But God, whose ways are above our ways and whose thoughts are above our thoughts and who is infinitely smarter than all of us put together, he decided that his messenger, his message, would be sent to a few simple shepherds on the outskirts of Bethlehem. And so today I want to see what happened on that first Christmas day through the eyes of those shepherds. First off, we need to understand that shepherds were really not very highly thought of. They were sort of like, you know, the bottom of the barrel there is what they considered. The upper class would not consider shepherds to be someone they would want to hang out with. The Orthodox Jews despised the shepherds. They considered them filthy or unclean because they couldn't follow the ceremonial hand washings and things like that because of the nature of their job, because they were out in the fields all the time. And they might be out there for weeks at a time, so they would come back dirty. And they hadn't washed their hands at the right time. They hadn't done this, they hadn't done that. So the Orthodox Jews, some of the priests in them, they looked down on them. But these same self-righteous Jews, they offered up these spotless lambs every day as a sacrifice to God. And they got those lambs that they offered up from those same shepherds that they despised. The temple authorities had their own flocks. You know, they didn't want to have to depend on circumstance or chance, so they had their own flocks to provide them with unblemished lambs for the continual sacrifices that were going on day after day after day, sacrificing these lambs. And the shepherds pastured these flocks on the outskirts of Bethlehem, and many scholars think that, in fact, it was the same shepherds who were pasturing those flocks for the temple sacrifices, that they were actually the same shepherds that were visited by the angels. And it's very fitting that that would be the case, because, those, just the way God works. I mean, here, you know, they get to hear the message first. That God would have these shepherds be the first visitors then to go see the true Lamb of God. The real Lamb of God. The Lamb that would take away the sin for all the world, for all time. God always seems to choose the lowly and the humble instead of the esteemed among men. Just as he chose David to be his king, the apple of his eye, a man after God's heart. Where did he find David? He was a shepherd boy. What were the shepherds doing when they were visited? They were doing their job. They were just out there in the fields. They were keeping watch over their flocks at night, it says. They were doing their duty, working as unto the Lord. And God seems to call on people when that's what they're doing, when they're conscientiously serving him in whatever job or whatever position or whatever calling God has on us. Just like we've been talking about our calling all this past year, accepting God's call in our life. God will use us as we are walking in that calling, as we are being obedient to the place where he's put us. That's when God comes in and says, if I can trust him in the little things, now I can trust him for the bigger things. And then he calls people out of sometimes maybe the simplest tasks, the simplest jobs. And he says, I want to use him. I'm going to use him to speak before people. I'm going to use him to be part of a miracle. I want to use her to, you know, to really touch this person's life. I want to use her to share my glory because I can see that they're doing the job I created them for. I can see that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. When Samuel came to anoint David as king, Samuel had to wait while they went out and looked for him in the fields because he was tending the flocks. Moses was called from the flocks of his father-in-law Jethro to lead God's people. Gideon was out threshing the wheat when an angel of the Lord appeared to him to become a victorious soldier in battle. Elisha was plowing the field when Elijah came by and threw his mantle on him
And he got the double portion that we've been talking about in our Bible study all year. Peter was fishing. Matthew was collecting taxes. I mean, this was the kind of stuff that was going on. God blesses those who are faithful in doing what he has called them to do. So here we have these shepherds. And they're out in the fields and they're doing their job. They're tending the sheep. And it's nighttime. And they probably had a long day. And now it's peaceful. And they're all gathered around. Maybe they got a little campfire going there. Maybe they're just eating some lamb chops or something, you know. When they're eating something, you know. And they're sitting back. They're talking about the day's events. You know, they probably got a piece of, you know, grass in their... you stick it between your teeth sometime, and you're sort of using it as a little toothpick, and maybe looking up at the stars and just talking about maybe what they're going to do when they get back or someday, and just, you know, just a nice time with the guys sitting down at night, just relaxing. And they're totally unaware that anything is going on anywhere. And certainly they don't know there's anything going on around them, but what they don't know is that heaven is all abuzz about the birth of Jesus. The angels are excited. And right there in front of them, the angels are there, but they don't see it. They're right there, but they can't see it. Remember when Elijah prayed for his servant's eyes to be opened, and all of a sudden he saw the chariots of fire? The same thing happened here. Nobody had to pray for them. God just opened their eyes, and bam, all of a sudden, there's this dazzling light, you know, and this angel is there, you know, and you know, it's like all heaven breaks loose. And their eyes are open, and all of a sudden, they're just in total amazement, and they're terrified. It says they were terrified. Come out of nowhere. Where did he come from? How did this happen? What's going on? I mean, these are not sophisticated people. Not that that would make much difference. I think if any one of us thinks we're sophisticated and all of a sudden an angel appeared out of nowhere in this blinding light, I think we'd be shaken up a little bit. So that's what happens to these guys. They almost have a heart attack. You know, they're terrified. So the first thing the angel says to them is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. I'm not here to harm you. I didn't come here to hurt you in any way. So he tries to reassure them and comfort them, and then he says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And so I would imagine by now they're saying, oh, okay, he's not raising his sword against us. He's telling us he's bringing good news. I think we're okay. Guys, I think we're going to make it through this. And this was the real thing. This was no phony scam. This was no, you know, spam message, robocall. This was a real call from God. This was a message from God himself delivered by his own angel proclaiming the greatest news that mankind had ever received. And what was the message? This is... You know, we get these calls all the time, the 800 numbers, you know, 866, and you pick it up, and if you don't say anything, there's nothing there. As soon as you say one word, hi, don't hang up, my name is, you know, or something like that. So we just hang them up. Those messages aren't worth listening to. Senior citizens, I go, I wish they were young. You know, just the right out of Moody Blues concert or something like that. And they come up with all these lines to try to get you to listen so they can sell you something. We don't want to listen to those kind of calls. But this was a message from God. From God himself. And he says to them, today, not yesterday, not tomorrow, but today, in the town of David, over there in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. Now, this was the message that the people of Israel had been waiting for centuries. And who gets it? Not the self-righteous Pharisees, not the priests, but the lowly shepherds. Just as Jesus simply came into the world, the message of his arrival came to simple men. Some might think the announcement was wasted on a few shepherds. But you know what? It just shows that God is no respecter of persons. He's not a respecter of position. He loves people. And he will speak to whoever he chooses. Today in Bethlehem, a Savior was born to you. The Anointed One. Your Messiah. The Lord. That was the message. How many still need to hear that message today? A Savior has been born unto you. Unto us. And we have a chance to meet him, just like these shepherds would. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. You see, it says, today in Bethlehem, a child is born. How long do you think Jesus is going to wait around in that manger? He's not going to grow up in that manger. He's not going to live in that place there. He was only visiting that town. His parents were. Today is the day. In Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. Next, we have a description of the person who was born. Was he tall, dark, and handsome? No, that wasn't the kind of description. What the description that we got of him was that he was a Savior. A Savior. Imagine a world where there is no hope. There is no purpose. There's no meaning. There's no Savior. It's like we may as well just walk off a cliff for all the good it's going to do. All we could look at was ourselves, or maybe the government, you know, for help. A people doomed to destruction and certain death. A desperate people. That's what it was like before Jesus came into the world. That was the shape of the world that was here. And in fact, the reality is that's our position before we receive God into our life. We don't really have hope then. Without God, we're without hope. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He sent a Savior. The greatest gift that we could ever receive was given to us by our Heavenly Father. And the gift's name is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Only someone who has overcome the world could save us from the world. Only someone who has overcome the flesh can save us from this carnal nature, this flesh. Only someone who has overcome Satan could overcome Satan. Help us overcome Satan and save us. Only someone who has overcome sin and death can save us from sin and death. Next, we learn that he is the Christ. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ. You know what that means, Christ? It means the Anointed One. Jesus was anointed by God. He was duly authorized. He was ordained for that particular job. I came for this job. That's what he came for. He came to die. He was the Messiah the Jews had been waiting for. There will never be another Messiah. They can keep waiting until the end of time. There will never be another Messiah. He already came. Jesus not only came, but he finished the job that he was anointed to do. He completed his work. Lastly, it says that he is Lord. The deity of Jesus is proclaimed at his birth by a messenger from God. The message was straightforward. It was very plain. It was very simple. Jesus is Lord. Today in the town of David, a child has been born to you. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ. He is Lord. He's God. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Wonderful Counselor. He's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. That's the little baby that we saw in the manger. He's God. Who else could be our Savior but God? Really. God is the creator of this world. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He created us. Who else could be our Savior but God? John 1 says, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. A little bit further down in 14 it says, and the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. The Word is Jesus Christ. So in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. And Jesus became flesh and made His dwelling among us. So God, the Word, Jesus, is our Savior. So the shepherds have been given a sign now to prove that everything that they've heard is true. What's the sign? The sign is that they're going to find this little baby with his mom and dad, just like up here we saw mom and dad and the little baby. I was looking at them and they looked like they were sort of shell-shocked. You notice that? And all this stuff is going on around them. And I was sitting there thinking, that's probably how Mary and Joseph felt. They got this little baby. All of a sudden, the shepherds are coming and, you know, all this stuff is happening. And you know, they hear about all these angels and they're probably thinking, what is going on? It says that Mary pondered all these things in her heart because she knew something special was happening with this little baby she had. So the sign was they'll find this little baby Jesus wrapped in cloths in a manger in Bethlehem. Suddenly, bam, the lights go on again. Even bigger and brighter this time. And now there is a whole heavenly choir of angels singing and praising God. You know, these poor shepherds. They're sitting there and they're terrified. Their heart is settling back down. Their pulse rate is finally getting back to somewhat normal. And all of a sudden, bam, where did these guys come from now? And all these angels are singing the glories of God. A company of angels. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favors rest. You know what? Those shepherds just had church. They had praise and worship. You know, they got the good news about Jesus. I have good news for you. They heard a message about peace and joy and salvation. They had a great little church service going there. So service lets out. And now the shepherds are so excited, they can't wait. They can't wait to go to Bethlehem. So they take off. I mean, I could just imagine these guys. Come on. Let's go. We want to, you know, what are we going to do? Don't worry about that. Well, let me put out the fence. Don't worry about that. Well, we got to tie up the net. Don't worry about that. Let's go. I want to see the King. I want to see this baby Jesus. I want to see the Savior of the world. Remember, these guys knew about that. They knew there was a Messiah that was supposed to come. It had been something they've heard all their lives growing up, that there would be a Savior, that there would be a Messiah, that this would, they had it mixed up a little bit. They thought they were going to save them earthly, you know, on the earth from all the rulers and all the Romans and all the different things that are going on. They didn't quite understand the whole picture, but they still knew it was going to be a Savior. And how often do you get invited to the birthday party of the King of Kings? The real birthday party. Now, if it was me, I wouldn't mind losing my job if I was going to go to see Jesus being born, you know, or Jesus just born. That would be worth it, don't you think? So it says, they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. So they shared with Mary and Joseph all they had seen and all they had heard, and they went around and they spread it all over the place. It says Mary pondered these things in her heart. And everybody else was amazed at the, you know, what was going on. These guys were the first, the shepherds were the first witnesses. They were the first evangelists. They were the first ones that they saw the baby and they went out and spread the word. They met Jesus and they went and told everybody. And all who heard it were amazed, it said, at what the shepherds told them. First-hand accounts are very powerful. When Marie just told us the little story about her going through the back surgery and everything, I mean, when you hear that from the person who went through it, it really can touch your heart. When somebody else just says, yeah, that girl over there, I can't remember her name, but she just had an operation, she's doing good. Oh, okay. Now, does that move you? But then you hear it from the person, and you find out how it blessed them and what God did and the struggle that they went through, and then you feel it. You know it. It's real. And when we have an appointment or a time with God where we meet Him or we meet God and we have this relationship that happens and this meeting for the first time and this eyes opening and ears and heart and mind opening up and receive God into our life, and it affects us powerfully. And when we go out and we share that with people, or when we share what God has done in our life, when some amazing thing has happened and we share that story, because we're telling the first-hand account, is going to move people. And that's what God wants us to do. It's important for us to share the things that God is doing in our lives. And that's what these shepherds did. They went all around. They went all around Bethlehem telling everybody, you got to see this. You got to know. You don't know what happened to us. We were out in the fields, and man, this angel came, scared the heck out of us. And then all of a sudden, there was more angels, and he told us about this baby, and we came in and we saw the baby, and that baby's the savior of the world. And they're going crazy, you know? And people, I could just imagine, slow down. Now, tell me, what happened now? And finally, they settle down. They start telling the whole story. And then they want to go see, and they start getting excited. Is this the Savior? Is this the Messiah? And it was. So the shepherds eventually have to head back to work. You know, they left the flocks there, eating the grass, laying around, whatever they do at night, whatever flocks do at night. And they came back, and you know, to their job, and they're back taking care. And now, though, it's different. Now they understand what the angel meant when he said, I bring you good news of great joy. These shepherds didn't come back, you know, beaten down. They didn't come back burnt out. They didn't come back, you know, discouraged, distraught. They came back filled with joy because they knew that they had just met the Savior. So that wasn't just good news. It was great news. It wasn't just joy. It was great joy. They were filled with great joy. God was once again in fellowship with man. The war that had been going on, the enmity, it says that man and God were at enmity. That means at war. We couldn't come into God's presence. There was this big veil in the temple that was there that separated everybody. The high priest would go in with a rope tied onto his feet in case he did something wrong or wasn't clean enough or had done something wrong. They'd have to pull him out dead. And then on that day when Jesus died, the veil was ripped, it says, from top to bottom by God himself. And that's what this birth was all about. It was setting up. The birth of Jesus had to happen so that the cross could happen. This was the fulfillment of the birth. This was the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the birth of Jesus and the death of Jesus. This was the start. And so this birth of Jesus, it really started Christianity, the foundation. It was the beginning. The small beginnings that we're not supposed to despise. So God could be once again in fellowship with man. Promises, prophecies of old. were fulfilled. There were all kinds of prophecies about becoming Messiah, about Jesus, even where he would be born, how he would be born, that he would be born to a virgin. All these things were prophesied. God knew they were going to happen. He just had his prophets speak them out. So there would be proof. A Savior has been born to us. Salvation is ours. And that is the message of Christmas. Today in the town of David, today in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Lord. And this message should fill each one of us with great joy, because it's the best gift we could ever receive. It really is. So let's close in prayer. I want to thank you for coming out today, and hope you enjoyed the Christmas music and the kids play and their song. So let's close in prayer. Father, we do thank you, Lord. We thank you for everything that you've given us. All things, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Messiah, our Lord. We thank you that we are part of your family now, that you've grafted us in, that you've brought us into your family. We thank you for all that you've done for us and all that you're doing, and we thank you for this wonderful Christmas gift that you've given us, our Savior, Jesus. Lord, I pray that each person here would have a blessed Christmas, Lord God, that every one of us, that things would go well, Lord God, in all areas. And I pray that on Christmas, Lord God, as we lead up to these final few days, that we would remember the real meaning of Christmas, not just get hung up on the parties and the gifts and the presents and all that, but that we would remember that it's really about Jesus. Lord, the world may be against him, but we know Jesus Christ is Lord. We thank you. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.